If you hold to my teaching,
you are really my disciples.
You are really my disciples.
You are really my disciples.
If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.
You are really my disciples.
If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.
Good morning, Outlook family. It sure is good to see everyone this morning. Have you ever been in a situation in which after you've kind of gone through it, you look at yourself or you look at the person you're with and you go, we should have known better than that. Or I should have known better than that, right? This summer, Tamara and I spent a few days on Lake Barkley with her family in Kentucky. And I am a 48-year-old grown man and yet somehow convinced myself that I don't need any sunscreen. Right? And I should have known better than that, right? Amazing how we'll still do things that we should know better. I have a few more examples of maybe some things that we should know better of. I hope you know better than this. Don't do that. I'm just warning you right now. If you're tempted, just go ahead and leave that on the shelf, okay? Or here are a couple of signs of things that people should know better than this. These signs shouldn't be the stating the obvious. Here's one. Touching wires causes instant death and a $200 fine. And then there's always this classic. Do not breathe under the water. Yeah. We should know better than that, right? It's sad that maybe someone thought those signs were necessary, but the fact is they probably are, aren't they? Because I know I'm dumb enough to not need sunscreen, think I don't need sunscreen after all these years. We all do things that we should know better. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that it's time to know better. Amen? Let's learn some stuff that we need to learn, and we're going to discover this morning that the person we learn that stuff from, the most important things that any one of us can ever learn, we learn from Jesus. So that, in fact, disciples are students of Jesus. We pursue wisdom, and we learn from Him. The clearest translation of the original word for disciple is our word student. And Jesus was often referred to as a rabbi, which he certainly was. Rabbi means teacher. So, you and I, as Christians, are also disciples. That means we are students of Jesus, lifelong learners from Jesus. And that's good, because we have a lot to learn, don't we? Life teaches us that there's a lot that we need to know and to get down and to get better. Turn to someone and say, we have a lot to learn. We do. We do. And Jesus is the best teacher of all. So let's look at the couple of scriptures we're going to focus on this morning. The first one, we heard our fellow Outlookers sharing with us in the video. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 say that these are Jesus' words. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're going to start with this and then come back to the first. Anyone need some rest for your soul? Does that sound good to you? Yeah, because life out from under the teaching of Jesus is exhausting and heavy. But life under the teaching of Jesus is something else altogether. Come to me, he says, you who are weary and burdened. That's many of us here this morning. Jesus was always encountering people who were locked up in religious rule-making and rule-keeping. And these external rules ended up becoming a replacement for the heart relationship that we're supposed to be able to have with God. And so Jesus was constantly confronting this system of rules taking the place of relationship, of dry religion standing in for this dynamic relationship we're meant to have with our Creator. And Jesus referred to this as a heavy burden that religious leaders of his day were loading on the backs of people. And that still happens today. Religious leaders can be guilty of putting on us burdens on our backs of just rule-keeping and behavior-modifying and doing all of that in the name of God and replacing a dynamic relationship with Jesus with simply being a good churchgoer. Jesus confronted it then. We are confronting it now. We want to be sincere and wholehearted disciples of Jesus instead. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like the rules were all bad. In fact, most of them were good and right. But they were never intended to be the extent of what it meant to be a God follower. They were just good descriptions of the kinds of decisions that are wise and healthy for people to make. But they were by no means, it's like just settling for the minimum definition of something when really what's meant by it is so much more. Here would be an example. It would be like if there were a rule book given to me for being a good husband. And that rule book said, number one, when you get home, when your wife gets home, at the end of the day, when you both find yourself at home, give your wife a kiss. Okay, got that, number one. Okay, number two, ask her how her day was. A lot, at least 10 minutes. Oh, okay. Check. Got that, right? Number three, don't forget anniversary. Oh, okay, that's easy. Once a year, I can handle that. Okay, awesome. I'm a great husband so far. Number four, make bed on couch. That's the joke right there. That's meant to be the punchline, right? Because that's what you're going to end up doing, making your bed on the couch. Now, it's not that those first three things were wrong. It's just they were by far not enough, right? Right? Okay, just making sure. Just making sure. Not by a long shot. And so that's what Jesus was confronting. People who were settling for this list of minimums and not understanding the maximum life that was meant to be lived. And Jesus would face this again and again. The faith of the one true God had been drained of its meaning and its joy and its vibrancy and then stuffed full of dry rules and dusty rituals. And this is what people learned when they desired to learn about God and life in God. So when Jesus says, learn from me, he's saying what you've been learning is incomplete. And in fact, it's not very motivating, and it's by far not the whole picture. So Jesus says, no, enough of that. You need rest from all that. Learn from me. Maybe that's you this morning. You need some rest from doing life, maybe even pursuing God in some other way than Jesus' way. In some way that's just centered on your own effort or your own skill or some idea that your religious journey, your faith journey has taken so far that's been put on you that's just left you exhausted and discouraged. Jesus says, follow me instead. Learn from me instead. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. Now, we've talked about what a yoke is in some earlier series this year. A yoke was the picture of what a donkey or an ox might have on its shoulders as you yoked two of them together and then put them in front of a plow, and then they could pull together. And that was the same picture that a rabbi might use. When you put on a rabbi's yoke, you were saying, I'm going to hook myself up with you, I'm going to partner with you, and we're going to walk together, we're going to learn together. And so he's saying, take my yoke upon you, but guess what? My yoke is lightweight. My yoke is not this heavy burden that brings you down. My yoke is one that will actually make life easier. It will be a wind at your back. So he's saying, become my student. And that's what we want to do. Be students of Rabbi Jesus and learn from him. Disciples, pursue wisdom. Each week we've been looking at different aspects of what it means to be a disciple. And today we are focusing on the simple and powerful truth that we become students of Jesus. That there are things you and I need to learn. We need to know better. And we can only learn these most important things from this rabbi. Now, I like to learn stuff. I bet you do too. There's all kinds of stuff I want to learn while I'm still on this earth or learn about or learn more about. I'd love to learn sign language one day. I'd love to learn more than three chords on the guitar. I'd love to learn how to write code. I'd love to learn how to fly a helicopter. These are all things I'd love to learn, right? You probably have your own list of things you'd love to learn. But there are things that Jesus teaches that we can't learn anywhere else, and they are the most essential things. And so among all the things that you and I may want to learn in our lifetime, let's acknowledge that the things that we must learn for life to begin to go in the way that it's meant to go, for us to become the healthy people that we were meant to be and let that flow into the relationships that we have and the decisions that we make, those things are only learned from one teacher. There are a lot of teachers who want to pretend, a lot of books, a lot of video courses, you name it. There's lots of people who will want to try to teach us certain things about life, but there'll be a lot like that rule book for husbands. It's not that it's all wrong, it's just woefully incomplete. Only Jesus teaches us what we fully need to know to make life work. He was a unique rabbi, and he remains the most potent, brilliant teacher that we could ever have. We have to acknowledge that we're all under a yoke. Each one of us has chosen a yoke, someone's yoke, the yoke of self, the idea that I have all I need and I can teach myself. That yoke is wearisome. I need rest from that yoke. The yoke of religion, as we talked about, is burdensome. I need lightness and escape from that yoke. Jesus promises both of these things in this statement. So we learn as students of Jesus. This is an essential fact to grasp, and this is why we turn to the Bible. As students of Jesus, we will inevitably need to then turn to the Holy Scriptures, these Bibles that we push out on carts every week. Perhaps you brought yours or you have yours on an app. I want to spend the rest of our time focusing on the fact that it's only in these Scriptures and in these words of Jesus and these words of the earliest followers of Jesus that you and I will download the information, the learning, the teaching that we need to become disciples of Jesus. Check out something Jesus said to the so-called experts of his day. These would be the guys who were the experts on Scripture at that point in history. And he turns to them and he says this: "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Jesus is warning them that while studying the Scriptures is a beautiful thing, if you think that's the source of life, then you've missed the point. The Scriptures lead us to Jesus, who is the source of life. So he turns to these experts in Scripture and says, "You've been taught so much, but you've learned so little. You keep reading the map, but you're never finding the treasure." So it's not that he's saying that turning to the Scriptures is a bad thing. He's saying, but don't miss the point of the Scriptures. Becoming an expert in what the Scriptures say will mean nothing if they don't lead you to the life that Jesus is trying to teach us to live. Amen? I don't want you to make the same mistake that this guy in this Super Bowl 37 commercial did. You might remember this commercial, but I'm going to show it to you anyway. Check this out.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package, and I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
I still think that's funny. See, but his mistake is the very mistake that we can make when it comes to the Scriptures. We can even fall into, the world would say it's just full of silly stuff, stuff that you don't need. You can leave it sitting on your coffee table or on your nightstand or have it on your shelf, even have lots of copies. But if you don't get into it, then if you don't open it and get into it, you'll never receive all the good stuff that is there to help us live well. We live in what's called the information age, and it's called that for good reasons. We have an amazing amount of information at our fingertips, an amazing quantity of knowledge. And that's a great thing. But none of that guarantees wisdom and understanding. We are an information-rich society, but we have a poverty of wisdom in our world. Wisdom that can only come from God. It's easy for any of us to say, and it becomes a kind of a common cliche, hey, what you don't know can't hurt you, right? That's not true. That's not true. And we see it in our own lives and in the lives of others every day. What we don't know is killing us. We need to learn some stuff about how God designed life to work. Because if we don't learn it, we will make some huge mistakes, some major errors. Sin will keep nipping at our heels and winning the day, and it can ruin relationships, destroy families, and derail destinies. We got stuff we need to learn, and what we don't know does hurt us, sometimes very deeply. So we need to learn from Jesus. What do we learn? Very simply, the truth. The truth that sets us free, he says. And what do we gain? In a word, wisdom. We gain wisdom. Disciples should be people who are gaining the kind of wisdom that this world is hungering for. The kind of wisdom that aligns a life with the will of God. The kind of wisdom that turns us into stronger, more resilient, healthier people. Not people who stroke their chin and tell everyone how wise they are and all the stuff they know. No, people who know how to make solid and healthy decisions. People who know how to put one foot in front of the other and find purpose in their life and then live that out. The kind of wisdom every human being is longing for. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth that he's talking about are the words that come out of his mouth, and the words that he, as God, inspired his early followers to write down, the words that we call the Holy Scriptures. You and I simply must get those words into our minds and hearts. Amen? There's no replacing that. Remember the left column from a few weeks ago when we're just casual consumer Christians. Then we believe that we can just come to church every now and then and agree with what Jesus says and it's all good. But that is nothing like what he came to earth to provide, died on the cross and rose from the tomb to give us. There's that column where we realize we are meant to be disciples of Jesus, true students of him. And if we are students, which is exactly what the word disciple means, then when he says something, or we see it elsewhere in his holy scriptures, those words should be the most important words that exist to us. We should get them into us in whatever way we possibly can. We're going to talk about that a lot more today at 4:30. Throughout this series, we've been having this disciple training class at 4:30. It lasts for exactly 1 hour. If you've not come and you'd like to come, there's still plenty of room. If you've been coming, I hope to see you again today. It's up in the student loft at 4:30. We're going to go into what's true wisdom. And how do we discern it? We're going to talk about how to fill our minds and set them on the right course, the kinds of stuff that we all need to hear. Essentially, this hour in the afternoon is just, I only have a half hour on Sunday morning. And there's so much more that I'd love to share when we get into the things that we're talking about in this series. And so it's just another chance to go even deeper. We don't repeat much of what we do in the morning. We go into a lot more. And so if you're available today at 4:30, we'd love to see you upstairs. Richard Foster writes in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, something that I want to quote at length. He says this, many Christians remain in bondage to fears and anxieties simply because they do not avail themselves to the discipline of study. They may be faithful in church attendance and earnest in fulfilling their religious duties and still not be changed, or still they are not changed. Jesus made it unmistakably clear that the knowledge of the truth will set us free. Without a knowledge of the truth, we will not be free. And then he says this, one of the great needs among Christians today is simply the reading of large portions of Scripture. We simply must get these words into us in whatever way that we can. I cannot stress to you enough the importance of getting into Scripture and letting it soak into you. I don't mean becoming a Bible scholar, learning the meanings of some Greek and Hebrew words. I'm not talking about any of that. I mean the simple and honest, consistent opening of your Bible, taking in exactly what it says, taking it in at face value, and just chewing on that, meditating on that, praying on that. Yeah, there are some passages that require a certain amount of historical perspective or cultural insight, perhaps places that are best understood with a little explanation. That's why God gives the church preachers and teachers. But believe me, those places are the exception. I strongly encourage you, whether you are new to Jesus or, man, you're a longtime veteran, to simply read the Bible, especially the New Testament, as often and as deeply and as much as you can. Just download that into your soul. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul describes to Timothy something about his own, about Timothy's life, but he's making a broader observation. He says to him, "You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to equip, to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." What a great description of what Scripture can do and is meant to do in my life and in yours. It's inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what's true, what's right, and what's good. You and I must be people who live in the Word and let the Word live in us. Only the Scriptures give us the wisdom we need to learn how to live life well. And it is in the Scriptures that we learn from Jesus. When Jesus says, for you and I, as we sit here as Jesus followers in 2019, when Jesus says, "Come to me and learn from me," one of the primary ways that will happen is through prayer and an open Bible. We open our hearts and minds in prayer, and we open our Bibles. And it is in that combination that we will most effectively do exactly what He's inviting us to do. Come to Him and learn from Him. There's no complex recipe here. It really is that simple. The consistent opening of hearts and minds in prayer and Bibles at the same time is what allows us to come to and learn from the Lord Jesus. And the fact is, when it comes to this idea of learning, I feel like in the church today, we have abandoned the realm of knowledge, so-called, to the academy or to the university, and along with it, the authority to truly teach and fully learn. We don't live in a world today, at least not in our society, in which we believe that there's stuff in here that is actually substantive, deep, and useful enough that it should be learned the same way we might learn how to do the things we need to do for our jobs or learn how to do our banking or whatever. There's equally useful things in here that our day-to-day lives need, that is truly a manual for how to live well. We don't really think about that as much in our society. We don't think about learning as being something that we do as a Christian. The church has become the place where we feel things, for sure. Maybe even occasionally do things. But it's no longer a place I can actually learn things and know them, that they're substantive. Now, maybe you don't feel like that, but I think as a society, maybe that's been our drift. A church is a place for people who want to shut off their brains and just operate by faith, which is a terribly inaccurate description of the life of faith. Life of faith is not shutting off my brain. In fact, it's enlightening my brain in ways that that go well beyond what I've ever experienced outside the life of faith. Have you experienced that? That it's not a matter of not knowing. In fact, now it's knowing things more broadly and more deeply than I ever did before. It's the opposite of what the world thinks the life of faith is meant to be. So we must not be people who fall for the idea that matters of faith are approached by disengaging the mind, when quite the opposite is true. Learn from me, he says. I pray we hear those words, that, that as you leave this place this morning, that you'll hear those words, learn from me. Jesus is inviting every single one of us. And don't think you're excluded from this. Learn from me, he says. He longs to teach us. He knows exactly what's going on in your life and in mine. He knows exactly the knots we're trying to untie. He knows exactly the problems that we're trying to solve. And he wants to teach us how to navigate through that. Each one of us, learn from me, he says. Now, how do we learn? We learn lots of ways. We dig into Scripture, even memorize it. We study. We learn together in settings like this or at 4:30 or in your life groups or in other Bible studies, you name it. That's all awesome. What's most important is that we're learning, that we are people who are lifelong learners of Jesus. Let me just do a little sidebar here for a moment. As I talk about getting into the Scriptures, I want to make one thing really clear. I've come to believe that we've done a great disservice to our faith by equating it with the academic exercise or ability or talent of studying a book. That when we equate being a Christian to someone who's good at reading or good at studying a book, because not all of us have that proclivity or have that natural ability. The wisdom, here's the greater truth. The wisdom of Jesus' teaching is what we crave and it's what we need. We should seek it in whatever form we can best absorb it. In other words, if you're not a strong reader, then listen to it through audio, MP3, audiobook, CD, I don't care, you know, however you might do that. Hear it preached, listen to sermons, but get these exact words into your memory and into your heart in whatever way works for you. I just think that sometimes we do a disservice by making people think, I'll never be able to really get into the Bible because I'm not really strong when it comes to reading or absorbing printed words. That's just one way to do it. It's not the only way. What matters most is that those words get into us and we download them into our thinking and our brains and in our hearts and make them a part of who we are and the pattern of exactly how we think and navigate in this world. Now, you're part of a church here at Outlook that believes there is tremendous power, unequaled power, in applying God's truth to our lives. That nothing is stronger or more potent and nothing can replace applying God's truth to our lives. Amen? We cannot apply, though, what we do not know. So downloading that, absorbing that, soaking that in is exactly what we need. And that's why we're committed to teaching and learning together all the time here at Outlook. We've got a lot to learn. And the good news is we're learning it. One tool we rolled out earlier this year is Right Now Media. Let me just remind you that online, for free, for you, at your fingertips, are a ton of excellent Bible studies that will you can study together. You can study them at home. There's a lot of great stuff for kids. There's stuff for your life group can get together and do. And all of it is already available to you. You can follow the link on our homepage. It'll take you, if you've not created an account yet. We also now have a whole channel, a whole set that's just called Continuing the Conversation, Disciples Now and Always. So they're all studies that have to do with the type of topics that we're looking at in this series. And that's also on Right Now Media. And so you can check that out too. But just to remind you that this tool is available for you and it's all for free. We're committed to being good students of Jesus. But again, not just people who fill our heads with knowledge. That's exactly what Jesus warned us against. We don't want to become experts in what the Scriptures say. We want to become practitioners of what we're meant to do by what the Scriptures say. Amen? That's a big clarifying difference. As I close this morning, let me just say that what we learn most from Jesus is how to live life well when we allow ourselves to be His students. And this brings tremendous peace to us. It is what we most need. When we do that, when this becomes part of who I am, then we are running on the fuel we were intended to run on. We are running on the code we were programmed to. That's one way of thinking about it. We are fallen away from God. We are confused, and the Bible says, in the dark. When we come to Jesus, the light comes on. We begin to realize that there are things that we didn't know, and now we're starting to see them. And we start to live in that direction. Then these words become the code that we need. We get that into us, and then things start to grow and thrive, and we're moving in the right direction, and it's all because we're starting to get the truth that sets us free. I may never learn how to fly a helicopter or more than three chords on the guitar, and the fact is that won't make any difference in the world. But I got to learn how to forgive. I need to know how to love and serve and share. There's all kinds of stuff that I've got to get down if life's going to make any sense to me, if it's going to work, if it's going to flow and flourish. I got to learn how to face and not give in to temptation. If I don't learn these things, if we don't, we create a world of hurt. Hurt we can't afford to create. Amen? Let me close with these words from Simon Peter. There's this moment in John chapter 6 in which Jesus is teaching, and he talks about what we now call communion. He talks about that he's going to give his body, his blood, and we partake in that. And it was some people thought it was pretty whacked out. They didn't know what to do with that, and they left. They were like, this is too much for me. He says, the words I share, they are spirit and they are life. And then he talks to the 12. And he goes, are you going to leave too? And I want you to hear what Simon Peter says to him, because this is our prayer and these are our words as his disciples. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. These are the words that flow from the heart of a disciple. Let's make them ours this morning. Let's pray about that. Father, we don't want to go anywhere else. You have the words of eternal life. You have the words we need to hear. You have the wisdom that we need to apply. You know the things that we need to have in our lives so that we can begin to follow you in ways that are fruitful and helpful and useful and profitable in all kinds of ways. You came that we would have life to the fullest, Lord. Teach us how to live that life. As we continue to worship you, Lord, it's our heart's cry that we would become each day more and more students of yours, recognizing you, Lord, as the premier teacher, the most brilliant rabbi that we've ever found and ever will. In Jesus' name, amen.